Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of Multifamily Matters. Today we are going to air the best of Multifamily Matters. It is an extremely informative episode, so listen and enjoy the best of Multifamily Matters.
Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for joining in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. And we have a great show today with a wonderful guests who are experts on the topic of today's show. As a matter of fact, they're the power panel of leasing and marketing in the Houston area. So you own or manage multifamily properties. The market in our area is getting tougher. It's the holiday season, which slows down leasing activity. What can you and your sales teams do to break through and lease units at your assets? With this in mind, our topic today is selling your product in a competitive market, tips for your sales team. Joining me in the studio are Randy Cameron, Regional Marketing Director at Lincoln Property, Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services at the Morgan Group, and Karina Briers, Director of Marketing with Graystar. Thanks, guys, for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So let's kind of start with, where is the market today? We've had some situations in the past year with natural disasters, and that kind of was an unusual situation with Hurricane Harvey, but that's kind of hopefully in the past now. Where do we stand with the market today? Joe, you were saying that the market is competitive.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the market, it's okay. We're seeing in terms of like rents right now, some renewal increases. We're seeing some kind of flat renewals in some places as well. But the most of the properties we have are pretty centrally located, kind of in more of the urban dense locations. So, but we are noticing off the street rents, kind of people coming in still wanting the specials, the best rate, and, you know, really thinking about that as we go into what we consider kind of our slow season. We know that people, you know, in the next maybe 15, 20 days are making their decisions to move, and then first of the year we pick back up. So I think it's definitely competitive. And what we're also seeing is that's not necessarily to any specific type product. We are having to readjust our comp sets. Mm-hmm. So what we typically have thought is our competitor based on age or quality of product might also be due to location now. So it might be a product that's a few years older than us with, you know, good amenities. Mm-hmm. So we're also looking at that as well, not just new product, it's just kind of also location.
Now, let's talk about location for a second. Randy, I know in the Lincoln portfolio here in Houston, you've got properties that are spread out throughout the area in different submarkets. Mm-hmm. What are you finding as far as location? How is that affecting leasing activity, and is it making it tougher in certain locations?
For example, I'll say we'll start with like the inner loop, like downtown. So downtown in the Montrose area was extremely interesting when I first got here 3 years ago, just because I came in right when everyone built these like luxury, extremely expensive buildings. And we just didn't have the people to live there, because I mean, every high rise was fighting for the same renter. Right. I mean, it was literally like, oh my God, I remember that person at that property, and I remember that person at that property. And so that made it really difficult, because it was like, how are we going to sell our building, which is pretty similar to next door? Mm-hmm. And so that was where we had to get really strategic with like our marketing dollars, because that's a huge, huge thing. Because obviously the first thing to go is marketing dollars when, you know, the market is like, you know. So like, it was basically all about like our people. I mean, we take really good pride. Like Lincoln does a really good job as far as like training. And that was, I think that's what made us successful through the hard times, was because we had the best people in place for these products. But moving outside to like the energy corridor was crazy, because that hit the hardest, especially when like all the oil and gas was like losing jobs. But then as soon as Hurricane Harvey happened, and it was a horrible thing, but it really kind of helped bring like jumpstart that market for us, so we could actually focus on our other ones, just because it was just, there was like 17 high rises that were built in 16, 17 months. Right. I mean, it was insane. I mean, that's a ton amount. I mean, seeing that asset. Like, we weren't giving that many concessions toward, like, in our, like, outside, like, submarkets. So, like, I have some that are, like south of 288, which we've never given concessions for, and we've always been full. And even out to, like, the Woodlands, which everyone thinks that's crazy, but we were still giving 2 months free out there, too. So I think you guys have properties in the Woodlands.
We do, and yeah. I'd love to, you know, even piggyback on your, you know, mention of, like, the energy corridor.
Yeah.
And talking about different, you know, pockets and submarkets. But we're also seeing, I think, too, you mentioned, you know, natural disasters. We're, what, 14 months out from Harvey.
Yeah.
But a lot of our assets are in this quasi-lease-up again. Mm-hmm. And these are on, you know, properties that have their first floor units that have just come back online.
Right.
And so we're seeing quite a bit of that throughout the energy corridor, where that may not have been an anticipation, right? At this time of year, here we are, slow season. There's, you know, an influx of inventory that we didn't initially have.
Right.
Scoped, I guess, and now they're back all back online. We're seeing that in, you know, the north. We're seeing, you know, in the spring area, the Woodlands. We're also seeing that, you know, specifically in the energy corridor, this quasi-lease-up situation.
That's true. It's like, we actually got very lucky and didn't have any assets that were in the energy corridor that didn't have any problems. So we got super lucky, so I'm going on that. But I have been seeing that for our comps and stuff, of trying to, like, be competitive pricing. And a lot of them are, like, back up at least. Again, they're, like, 75%. Let's roll. Let's keep going. Which, it's just so funny how the Houston market, I mean, it's been literally up and down like a roller coaster for the past 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, as far as, like, giving, like, our leasing teams a little bit of a break. Because I feel like they have been, like, on, like, 24-7.
Right.
Just because we're really trying to get every single piece of traffic that we can to the properties all throughout the time. So, like, that's the reason why, like, our websites are so important, because we literally are trying to get these people to rent the apartments when they're on their couch or when they're, like, driving in their cars and their Ubers, because they don't have time to actually walk through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just, like, it's on all the time with our team. So I think they've done an incredible job. And I think moving forward, I think there is, like, some sunlight and some sunshine coming back to Houston.
You know, I was talking with a property manager yesterday who has a property in Pasadena area that's affordable, and they roughly 250 units, and they lost 52 units in Harvey, and I was looking at her occupancy numbers, and prior to Harvey hitting, they were at 98-99%, and then it dropped down to about 78%, which shows the number. Yeah, I mean, that's the 52 units that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden you see it jumping back up to 98-99 a couple of months ago when they got those units back online. What kind of challenge does that pose when you've got this inventory of units on an existing property that all of a sudden come back online? Are you able to have your teams to create waiting lists for them, or is that something that you just have to, as they come online, you find someone to take those units?
I think that, you know, the communities that had units, like Karina was saying, that came back online that fill up very quickly, that's a good, you know, that really tells you how much demand there is, right?
Yeah.
And so there was some of that pent up demand to get back into those areas, and people that wanted to get back into the markets that were affected. But I think that we also had to do a good job of creating a sense of community even when we lost residents. And so, you know, Randy mentioned the people. And so, you know, making sure that we continue to run our communities as if they were at 98%. And recognizing that in these really tight markets, you know, I always tell our teams that, you know, at the end of a lease up, it's not time to really relax because you're done. I really think that you go into a second phase of lease up where it's kind of like the fight to keep the back door closed, because there's always somebody opening up next door to you, right?
Right.
And there's somebody who might be getting 52 units back online that are aggressively trying to put heads in beds. And so we're always thinking about that. But I think that, you know, the fact that they go back to 98% quickly is two things. One, there's a demand in that market. There's great. It's a great place of that product. Or two, they've done a good job to really anticipate when they have those units delivered back to them, and they've taken a great opportunity to market well and, you know, refill the need. And like you said, perhaps some waiting lists. We don't typically do waiting lists. It's tough for us. Most of our new product is new construction. We try not to miss move-in dates. So we don't like to be in the business of putting people in hotels. So we don't do too much of that, you know, but, you know, it happens. But yeah, to have an effective marketing plan to refill that product once it comes back online is huge.
The product's more enticing too, right? So we have these brand new interiors as they've, you know, come back online.
Right.
So now we're competing with other, you know, assets that we may not have been competing with before. So the consumer has more opportunity. They have more choices to select from.
Well, and I think that, you know, we're talking about a natural disaster like a hurricane, but the apartment industry, there's almost not a week that goes by that you don't hear on the news that there was a fire somewhere and, you know, you get a building that's down and, you know, that's creating inventory that has to be leased once it's back online again. So it's a common, not common thing, but it's not rare.
It was a definite shift in our mindset
on
these assets that were, you know, full and, you know, 98% occupied. And now they're going into, like I said, this new mindset of a total lease up and, you know, creating a marketing campaign and trying to re-entice someone to come back to an area that was, you know, affected. They may not have that desire, you know, to go back to these same spots. But I think, you know, creating this sense of community, like you said, and continuing to run the asset like it was 98% full and cultivating and keeping those, you know, relationships nurtured with your residents and just offering this.
We put out fires every day at our sites, you know, all day long. This was different because this fire kind of extended beyond
right.
You know, our resident base.
I understand. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back in a few minutes. You can always catch our show by going to our website at www.multifamilyradio.com. You can listen to any archived episode as well as email us and give us some suggestions for topics and guests. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program. And it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing selling your product in a competitive market, tips for your sales team. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me are Randy Cameron, Regional Marketing Director at Lincoln Property Company, Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services at the Morgan Group, and Karina Breyers, Director of Marketing with Graystar. We're kind of talking about rents and what to do, you know, when you have a disaster like a hurricane come through, how does that affect your leasing effort? But we touched, I think, for a second, but we need to go into a little bit more detail for our listeners, I think, on concessions. What types of concessions, if any, are you seeing? Now, I mean, I think that's, you know, I've heard people who have been on our show talking about when the market gets tough, that's the first thing people start seeing are concessions coming out. And I remember there was a time in Houston decades ago where there was a developer and owner who would, if you signed a lease, he'd give you a VCR, which don't even exist anymore. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that people come up with, and today it's a little bit different. But what kind of market do we have as far as concessions? Are we seeing anything yet?
I think we're seeing a lot of concessions out there, you know, with as much competition that we have, especially in the downtown space. I think there I'm seeing a lot of upfront given, and we're really trying on our assist here from offering that. You know, we can, you know, build the value elsewhere without having to give it all away up front. I think that's, you know, helpful for long term of our, you know, of our books, if you will.
We're trying to keep away from doing the upfront concessions just because I don't know if you saw our issues, but we had a lot of fraud downtown that was crazy. And so we try to get we're giving half off your first 3 months or just something like that, just so they have to pay the rent, just because we were seeing so much fraud. But downtown is kind of a bloodbath, I guess you can say, because we were seeing 3 months free at one point, and then an upfront concession as well on top of a free move. I mean, it was just crazy, but we have seen a little bit of kind of back down, just a smidge. But kind of go back into like Hurricane Harvey, I think like the oil and gas industry was almost just as devastating as Hurricane Harvey was for us, as far as like a whole for Houston, just because that hit us first, because that was like, that's what we were hoping for more jobs to come into play. And that just didn't happen. That was one of the big things that hit us first. And so that's when we became a very concession heavy region around like the 2015, 2016, and it just kind of blew up last year. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we're seeing the tail end of it coming kind, we're trying to get away from it like right now. So I oversee about 26 assets and we're like around like 91% trend across, which is like, okay, we're getting through, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's just, I mean, that's just keeping it. We're trying to figure out what works as far as like 1 month free, 2 weeks free. I mean, we're just, it changes every day, I feel like.
Yeah, I think we're having also a conversation about what is that concession and what does it mean to the prospective resident, right? So yeah. Are we offering something because everybody wants the best deal, right? What's the best deal in the market? But then are we offering something that goes beyond and now starts to cut into the value of what we're trying to offer the market, right? So is it okay to be a little more expensive because we're newer? And so to continue to consider the value of the product we're offering and being okay with being just a little more, right? And trying to be a good deal, but not necessarily the best deal. I always tell my teams when things are on sale, that's not because they're brand new, right? It's not because they're the most popular thing on the rack. So it's not always great to be the best deal or to be on sale, if you will. And so I think that's kind of, you know, the magic right there is finding a competitive price that makes people want to look at you, right? That makes them feel like they're getting value for what they're paying. But then also considering your product, what you're offering in the market and kind of standing firm on that. And, you know, people always spend more than they want to. You know, there's leftovers in my fridge. I can take and eat for lunch today, but I'm probably going to go spend $12 or $13 when I don't have to.
Right.
So there's always a little more to spend. And so I think we try to have some confidence in that stance.
Well, it's essential.
Concessions. Absolutely.
To build the value.
And you know, hey, look, we call around our comps and we find out what they're doing. And we just hope that when we are talking to them, they're telling us the truth. And I always say, tell the truth, because you saying, we're only doing a month and you're doing 2 months continues to tell the investment piece we need more concessions, right?
Right.
And it's crazy.
It just continues that cycle.
Absolutely.
I think if we, you know, work with our comps, it actually helps in our favor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you find that as far as concessions go, I mean, we've mentioned earlier that we're going into, at this point in time, the holiday season. Is there a time of year when it slows down like this that where you bring out some additional concessions that you didn't need to when it was more active?
I don't know that it's additional. I think this is the time when we do consider giving the concessions up front, giving them, putting money in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
This is when people are vulnerable. They're traveling, you know, they're buying gifts. And so if this is the time when they cannot write the check, it's the time to do it.
Right.
If your play is to allow people to take a special over a lease term, if you don't want to do it up front, that's fine. But this is the time when I think we make the biggest consideration as to what can we really give back now.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Spinning the way that it's given.
Right.
Rewarding it.
It's definitely also getting, because our teams have been, like I said before, just so busy during the crazy season that now it's time for them. Like, boots on the ground is like a big thing for me, like heels to pavement. Like, it's where they actually really have to go in outreach market, just because it does slow down drastically. That now I'm like, okay, so if you're sitting at your computer for more than 20 minutes, you gotta go. Like, it's time to go outreach market, do social media, because that's, I mean, you just gotta keep going, because you can't let it just, like, these
come to you.
Yeah, because they're not coming to you anymore. Like, it used to be like 10 years ago when I started, it was just like I would just sit there and just wait for people to come in. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's like,
no, you've got to go find
the right, like the right renter, the qualified traffic, all of those things. So.
And you've got to know that renter.
Absolutely.
That's, I mean, essential. Yeah. I think with our teams, you know, really knowing and identifying who that person is. And I think there's such a major shift in the consumer these days and how they're shopping. And we've got to be in front of them in many facets, in many different
absolutely.
Ways. Gone are the days of just, you know, obviously being in print or, you know,
right.
But even just, you know, depending on our digital ILSs, there's just so many different ways that we have to be in front of our consumer by the way that they're shopping. You mentioned, you know, when we're talking about concessions and just all the fraud, it isn't just downtown Houston. It's everywhere. It's
right.
Become this insane epidemic. And but it's also, too, how we're now leasing apartments online.
Yes.
You know, and that's where a lot of that is occurring, is through these online, you know, leasing channels.
Totally. I mean,
the resident referral piece is huge too. I think that, you know, it plays into reputation management, the Yelps, kind of all the different ways people review us and tell people about us. And, you know, that is so powerful. You know, it, you value and trust a friend, what they think, more than you probably do a salesperson telling you, sure, this is the best deal, you're going to love living here. You know, those days of being able to sell like that are pretty over. And so I think we have huge focus on making sure that we are keeping residents happy, that they're referring us, that we are monitoring social media. I mean, it is reputation management.
Yeah, it really is. And then, you know, we would definitely want them, you know, screaming from the mountaintops too, when, right, and singing our praises, because it is, again, that shift in the consumer, right? It's how we're shopping. I know I'm shopping by way of reviews. I'm sure that, you know, you all are doing the same. And that is what our apartment dweller is doing. And it's, you know, transparency. Yeah. And it's really how we're handling, you know, there's going to be issues everywhere, right? There's going to be situations, right, that come up. And I think it's the way that we're able to, you know, show how we would conduct ourselves and handle a situation. And it just, that weighs so heavily on our reputation management. And we put a huge focus on that throughout our organization.
It's funny how, like, so Google, Yelp, like Facebook and apartment ratings have always been like the top ones, right? Well, like Google, like Yelp is now, like, I mean, still a thing, but Facebook is like the number two source that anyone does anything. So when it comes to looking for bars, restaurants, homes, places to live, or like, it's the number two source. So that's why we make it very, I make it very important for my team that they have to post every single day, because we're trying to make it extremely easy for them to walk through the front door. Because if they already recognize a face on Facebook, they're like, oh my God, I know her. And they're more likely to stay there and actually tour the apartment and all that kind of stuff. So that is like the number one, kind of like a dagger for your property if you have really bad reviews. And that is just like my hot button. I'm like, if you have a bad review, get on there, respond, be you, because, you know, that's the whole reason why they move there from the beginning is because of you. Yes, because we have the product. Yes, we have the price. We have all the things, but it's all about our people.
Well, and our message, so, you know, what we're selling, you know, has to be so clear. You know, the importance of getting to the point is top priority right now, because there's so much, more than ever, I think, there's noise and distractions. If you get on Facebook right now and you're trying to get on one of our social pages, you know, you're being served up so much noise and distraction on the side right now that, you know, it is important for us and our teams on sites to really get to the point. And we're asking a question that I don't think we asked before, is what have you heard about us? Mm-hmm. You know, you're asking, but what have you heard about, you know, Pearl at the Mix? What have you heard about, you know, one of your communities? Because we're kind of real time seeing what people think about us. And from that, we're building our sales mm-hmm. plan. You know, that kind of builds the tour. I heard you had a great pool, you know. So it's really kind of real time leasing now. I think it's
very organic.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We are going to be back with our third segment of this show. And we are talking today about how to sell your product in a competitive market, tips for your sales team. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220. Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing selling your product in a competitive market, tips for your sales team. I'm Paul Marks, And joining me are Randy Cameron, Regional Marketing Director at Lincoln Property Company, Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services at the Morgan Group, and Karina Breyers, Director of Marketing with Graystar. I do want to take one moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. We touched in the last segment a little bit on reviews and reputation management. That is something that I would imagine in the last decade has become a game changer in multifamily as far as how easy it is to post a review, good or bad. What are you guys finding as far as the way that you respond to those reviews? What's your policies and who in the organization responds?
For us at Graystar, our on-site managers own the responses to the reputation management, to our online reputation management program. We do, require that they are responding to reviews within, 24 hours. And, it's a case-by-case basis, right, on the nature of the review. But we, for something that's a little shady or, we usually encourage them to take that, conversation offline, invite that person, into the office with a phone call, a text, or what have you, however they prefer to communicate, really, and really try to diffuse that, situation again offline. But it's all about the transparency, too, and how we handle it. Like I mentioned earlier, there's going to be issues, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be things that come up, and maybe someone's upset and mentions, they've turned in, four requests for, a toilet overflowing or what have you. But I think it's the way that we react and respond to these issues that sometimes, is a win for us. I think, gone are the days where, where there was one platform, which was just a place for regurgitation of all mm-hmm. things negative about us and our, our properties and what have you. And now we're not so afraid of it. We welcome it.
Yeah, I agree. At the Morgan Group, we have the same basic policies. We try to get people to respond within 24 hours. We provide kind of a one-page list of most common compliments and complaints that may come your way, and some pretty good starts, like to help with those answers, just so we know we're delivering a pretty common message. But we do let our managers answer. We assist them. We see at our level all of those comments, good or bad. And so we often in the back end send some sort of, hey, saw this come through. Let us know if you need our help. Mm-hmm. Here's an example of a good answer. So we try to support as best we can. The department that I work in, I'm really fortunate to have much smarter people working for me. That was not by accident, trust me. But we're a support system. And so there's a lot going on. But I think you see most of the responses coming from our managers. And like Karina said, transparency is the key, and it's not only the key. Our residents are so smart. Our consumers are so smart. They know, and sometimes a good answer that's kind of just thrown in is a bad answer, mm-hmm. and creates more of a problem for us.
Yeah, Randy, I was going to say that Kurt Seidel was on the show a few months ago, and yes. We were talking about reviews, and he said that they have signs up at your properties encouraging people to make reviews, good or bad. You want to know about it. I guess it doesn't, the old adage is it doesn't matter what you think people think. It only matters what they really think. And the way you find out is, I guess, by allowing them the opportunity to say something. Sometimes they won't tell you to your face. They want to do it over the computer or online. Yeah.
So signs, it's a little aggressive. I wouldn't say signs, but we definitely try to encourage our residents to go in and say something nice, especially if they've had a great experience, because a lot of them see that our teams do get beat up, and that is our chance to really humanize our relationship digitally, which is really hard today. Mm-hmm. We do have some success with it, and then also too, you do have the ones that are like, I'm not gonna write a review. what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But we try to really make that relationship and that bond with the resident, so they do have they have the power, they have the ability to go in and do the review for us. So
I want to talk for a second about the fact that each of you at your respective companies manage teams of people who are doing the leasing on properties. Let's talk a little bit about, how do you find those people? What do you look for in those people? I can say this, that It never fails, almost never fails, when I have somebody on the show and I ask them how they got started. They always started in leasing and ended up, you know, now they're president of a company. So it's a good jumping off point, I guess. But what do you look for when you're trying to fill your teams?
Recently for me, over the last, you know, couple of years, I'll say I have found some of my best talent from the student housing
really? Arena. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. On my team specifically. And, you know, I support a team. Being director of marketing, I have, you know, four others that are on my team. And then we're supporting the 40,000 units here in Houston and Louisiana area. And but the best talent I have found thus far, is just these team members have been, you know, driven. They're innovative. And they've got, you know, a lot of great ideas. And, you know, they come from a little different fabric, if you will, in terms of the student housing space. But that's where I've recently found some great success on my team.
Yeah, I think that I can't say I've got any team members from student housing. It's not really where we play necessarily. We're happy to hire, we call them green beans, someone who's never been in the industry. You know, sometimes old habits are bad habits.
Right.
Although a lot of the old kind of leasing tools are coming back into play anew again, so there's value in that. I will say that we look for somebody who is customer focused. It is all about the people. Recognizing that, you know, it's got to feel personal what you're doing. You're finding someone their home. And I'm not the age of probably the median age of leasing consultants this day. I was when I started.
Right.
I still pretend to be. But I'll say that, you know, I grew up in a time where we were kind of like get somewhere and enjoy work-life balance, right? That's not really the leasing consultant force anymore. They are of the mind where it's just all life to them. Right. And so it's on demand. It's right now. And so that's really a great place to be because that's also the consumer. They like things right now. I find myself, I tell people this, you know, if I'm clicking something in Google with my mouse, I'll click it to go and I find myself shaking the mouse like it's going to hurry it along. Right.
Yeah.
So it's this on demand. So I feel like I'm attracted to talent that that finds it interesting to solve problems quickly. Right. That are happy to ask for the money. Sometimes they're servers. Sometimes, you know, we just hired somebody from the, that did kind of medical, like found people, like placed them in different rooms for medical procedures. And so just all different personalities and different kind of frames of mind, right? Mm-hmm. So understanding that people that come to us, you don't really know what their story is, why they need a one bedroom, right? Why they need a two bedroom. So being able to kind of consciously identify, why someone's there.
Well, for just marketing, it's just me in Houston. So it's just me by myself. But as far as like our teams, like this is just so funny because I think a lot of people come from like bars and restaurants and all kind of stuff because they multitask. They have no problem meeting strangers. It has been like a big thing for us. I've actually hired a bunch of people through like Instagram and Facebook that have just seen like our culture, which is so funny because I'm just like, I would never, like back when I was like in my early 20s, like randomly Facebook, like this regional marketing director, hey, by the way, I'm so-and-so. Mm-hmm. I'm available. I'm like, oh, okay. Like maybe this will work. But I mean, we're just seeing so many different outlets of it. And I'm fascinated by it because I'm just like, I mean, now like they just, I mean, if you have the confidence to do that, you have the confidence to ask for a deposit.
Right.
So, and I will hire you. Yes.
Right.
So
you get your green beans in, and then what kind of a training process do you start with them?
So it's a great question. We just recently had kind of a conversation about how we do this. I think that, you know, we are so busy and, you know, when someone either is promoted or leaves a community, you need to fill the spot, right? We try to make sure that they've had the basics, the fair housing class, that they've shopped at least one or two comps in the area, and so that we send them there with a little bit of knowledge because you don't want someone to show up a warm body that can just answer the phone. And as important it is to fill that spot and to have that warm body, it's doing a disservice to those teams to just send somebody out, kind of not onboarded correctly. So it's really important to us. Training's huge. We have an internal training department. We use an exterior vendor. And then, of course, they get real-time training from those prospects, you know.
We make it really... I love our training department. We have an awesome team where we actually put the person on site with the tenured like leasing or marketing person for at least like 2 weeks straight. So like they're on site at their property. So they're learning how to answer the phone, learning how to do all these things. It's very, very one-on-one just because we were seeing, because back then, like 10 years ago, they were like, here's the keys, here's the site map, go lease apartments. I don't know how I survived, but I haven't. But at the same time, now it's like, I mean, it's very, because they have to be taught the correct way, because like bad habits, like we don't want them to create these bad habits. And I do say that our training department has done a fabulous job. And ever since we started this program, like every single one of them has either got promoted or they love their job. They show up, they want to like do more, they want to train more, they want to do that. So it's been a huge like step in like our Lincoln culture for sure.
Okay. We're gonna take a break and we'll get back on that question when we come back. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Sorry to cut you off right now. I'm sorry.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back with our final segment of Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing selling your product in a competitive market, tips for your sales team. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me are Andy Cameron, Regional Marketing Director at Lincoln Property Company, Joe Melton, Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services at the Morgan Group, and Karina Breyers, Director of Marketing with Graystar. We had to take a break, but you wanted to talk a little bit about training and what you guys do at Graystar.
So we have a great talent development team, and but one thing that we've done a little bit differently over the last couple of years is offered more of an on-demand classes. We are introducing new classes like the Graystar customer experience, but it's where our teams are able to go on at any time into our portal, our LMS, and get these courses and these classes, and also too in these smaller formats like TED Talks, if you will, because it's just kind of shifting the way the learning experience is for our team members. So they have that at their fingertips, as well as our operation trainers that are there. Offering courses at our corporate office for more of a hands-on approach and classroom type setting, but being able to have these digital courses and TED Talks, if you will, at their fingertips has been really successful, and it really speaks to everybody and whoever has a different learning style or technique.
One of the things that we've talked about a little bit in the break was digital marketing, and the actual industry has changed so much over the last 10 or 15 years with, how do you get people to come in and see your product and take a tour or to talk or to call in? What is it that you guys are doing now to get that interest? Because it starts with somebody making a move, whether it's a call or an email or a Facebook question or whatever it might be. How are you handling that today?
We love our landscapers and we think that flowers are still important at the front door, but I call it digital curb appeal.
Absolutely.
I think it's so important. And I think that, it's not enough to put up a great website. It's so important to listen to the feedback of those J-Tuner surveys or things you're hearing from your actual residents just in your offices, and continue to change out pictures for the most important amenity. Do you want a beautiful pool shot when it's 40 degrees outside a front page? Probably not. Mm-hmm. What is a warmer space you can focus on showing during the fall, right? Mm-hmm. And to be really conscious of those little things. And, I always say when somebody walks in the front door, just take a quick peek at what time of day it is. and know if they're about to go to lunch. And so don't keep them on tour for an hour and a half if you're between them and Potbelly, right?
Right.
In terms of our websites and digital curb appeal, we think it's so important to be really conscious of what you're showing people, what they're seeing. And is that really, not just because it's your favorite amenity, it's the best picture that you have in your Rolodex of pictures, but what really people are gravitating to and what's selling the product, you know, mm-hmm. keeping that fresh.
Right.
Yeah, so kind of bouncing off on that, just being digitally visible. I know it kind of sounds kind of strange, but I mean, if you're not on Google, if you're not like on Google Maps, if you're not on Facebook, you're not on Instagram, you don't have a responsive website, no one's going to find you. And so like my tips would just be like, just make sure all of those things are active, like test them, because Apple likes to like move your little person around all the time. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. But that's like the easiest steps, because innovation, it's not going anywhere. It's going to continue to grow and to like be crazy. I mean, I'm sure like robots at one point, they're going to be leasing apartments. But so we just need to keep ahead of it. And I think like all of us, that's kind of like our daily like bread and butter, is like making sure that we're like, what can we do next like to be digitally visual? And what can we do to make it easier for our teams to run apartments?
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, with Graystar and our assets here or in our portfolio, we're doing the same thing, you know, keeping our digital curb appeal relevant, exciting, right. Photography, intoxicating. But outside of that too, I think we really have to, you mentioned it earlier, Paul, like there's back to the basics.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
essential, absolutely. Especially in the market that we're in and in the times that we're in. It's really standing out. I mean, our consumer has so many choices to make, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems that our people oftentimes make the difference. And, you know, we really incorporate even the maintenance into the closing of our deals. You know, I was going to mention that earlier too with online reputation. That is part of our success to the online reputation, you know, program, but also to even leasing the apartments. If we've heard a consumer has had an issue, you know, a previous situation with, you know, maintenance, we actually invite our maintenance team to be part of the closing of that. But of course, you know, you're talking about how we're bringing them in. Yes, we are definitely in this digital space, you know, with, you know, SEM and making sure our websites look great and everything. But we've also done some kind of crazy outside the box, you know, notions as well. And most recently, I'm working on one of our Graystar owned assets, a high rise in the Med Center. And it's Med Center proper. I mean, we are literally on South Main. We're facing into Texas Children's. And we have actually commissioned and purchased a food truck, if you will. It looks like a food truck. It's branded, it's wrapped for Latitude Med Center. And we've got an 85-inch TV that is in there that plays, you know, video and shows the lifestyle of our community. And that, we put it into activation at local festivals and parks and events going on all around Houston. We've got, you know, a huge Connect Four and cornhole and tables and chairs that are actually stored into this roving leasing truck, wow. if you will. We'll set up pop-up shop and, you know, invite the consumer to come and just learn about the lifestyle, hang out. You know, we will pass out refreshments and what have you, and cruise around Med Center and all areas of Houston. And that's really been different. Mobile leasing. And it's, you know, and we're, you know, under construction in a high rise. So we've had, of course, you know, we've all seen it, some challenges getting to the property during those times. It's definitely better, you know, today.
Sure.
But it's a unique, you know, asset. It's going to have a hotel component to it with Intercontinental Hotel. And we're just going out there and just, you know, spreading the word visibly, visually, and using social media for this too. That's part of, you know, the strategy behind the truck.
Yeah, that's very unique. What, when we're talking about the making sure you're visible online and so forth, how much of that, Because all three of you are your companies are larger companies. You're not mom and pop shops. How much of that do you do in house? How much of that do you use a third party resource for?
A lot of the stuff, as far as creating the websites themselves, we will always outsource it to a third party. And then as far as like looking at the data on the back end and seeing what works, that's something that I would do personally. And then, there's so many different things. Obviously, I try to wear a lot of hats, but I can't really do all of that. But then we also hire a third-party company to do, like, our pay-per-click campaigns, our geotargeting campaigns, but I'm also very much involved. It's something that we talk about every day. Like, that's, like, our bread and butter. But, like, on our on-site teams, they have no clue, like, what exactly being, like, what's happening on the back end of, like, why the website's so important and, like, where these people are actually coming from. But yes, I probably would say like I do outsource most of
the digital stuff. Yes.
I think for the Morgan Group, it falls into two buckets, kind of create and control. So we use vendors to create some of this content for us. We like to control some of this content. So we like to have logins to move around pictures, change the message, change the romance paragraph. Time is money. And so to email, a web designer, could you change the caption on this picture, and then you've got 2 days. You're in a queue for 2 days to change just a caption.
Right.
So we try to control a lot of the content once it's built.
Absolutely.
But the actual creation, we Venmo most of that out at this point.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to not say that I was controlling.
I was
trying not to say that.
No, I would say same. We definitely want to be able to have that capability of making some of those small edits that, we need to do real time right now. But for the most part, certainly, for the creation, it is outsource, and as well as our social media, we do use third party mm-hmm. social media managers, but it's still a collaboration of working with your teams. They have to engage with your social media partner. We're the ones that are here, boots on the ground, hyper local, and they've got to engage and kind of set up the strategy, and we like to encourage that. Our teams are working alongside these folks and pre-planning for the month, if you will, come up with the content and have it there readily available to post and engage. And so we do outsource that piece, and same with our creative agencies with the websites and such.
Yeah, Karina makes a great comment. She said partner, and I think that's really key. We have vendor partners.
Mm-hmm.
If we have somebody that doesn't really see the vision or allow us to participate in that contribution, then that really doesn't align with what we do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I feel like all of my partners, all of my vendors are like my friends, because they have to get me and get what's happening.
Seriously.
Because if they don't, then they're just going to go fly off, do their own thing. And whoa,
right.
Bring it back down.
What's
bring
your
back
favorite
down.
Ice cream flavor?
Yeah.
Who cares? That's not what we're posting,
Yeah.
So it's engaging content. And
absolutely.
That just helps so much more when we're partnering with them and they know our vision.
Well, I want to, we've got to wind down this segment, but I want to give each of you a chance to tell a bit about yourself, how you got started in the industry, a little bit about your company, and also, but start out with giving one tip that you can think of to somebody who wants to market their property. If it's a small mom and pop owner, what kind of a tip would you give them? You want to start?
I would say, just definitely know your demographic, know that customer, and know how to engage with the customer. I think it's essential and I've said it multiple times today, just seeing a shift in the consumer. And so being able to attract, adapt, and respond to your consumer is probably one of the biggest tips, just knowing that person and how you will stand out. I think you'll be a better stand out if you do, hone in on that.
Okay, tell quickly about yourself and Gray Star.
Well, I have been in the industry since I was 3. started back in 94, actually, with Gray Star. So I was with Gray Star. Collectively, I've been with Gray Star for 17 years.
Right.
And so I'm now, leading and directing, director of marketing with the Central South team, and lead a team of 5 others. And, we're supporting over 40,000 units here in the Central South region.
And you started in leasing?
I did. I started, believe it or not, right?
Never fails.
Was going to school for fashion merchandising and going to school full-time, working in the leasing office part-time. And what do you know? Here we are, 22 years later. So, it's been an exciting ride. And, I've worn many hats. I mean, wear many hats today. But along the way, throughout my time with Gray Star, I've also on the vendor side for a couple years. So, and while doing that, Gray Star was my client.
Right.
I'm back home with my family for the past 10 years, since 2008, and I've just enjoyed the ride, with an incredible firm who's, extremely innovative. We're moving and we're shaking, and, the largest management company in the nation, actually global today.
That's great. Joe?
Yeah. So, quick tip. So I encourage leasing agents to not talk square footage. We tell our guys this all the time. It's so subjective, right? So we don't even know what 944 square feet looks like, right? And we do this every day for a living. I think that it really, you run a big risk of saying this is my 944 square foot one bedroom. And you don't know that person has just not come from a competitor and saw 1,056 square feet for a better price. And so they start to determine value on what that number is. And so I just encourage them to show the space, And what's good about it, and not use square footage. That's my quick tip.
Okay.
So my name is Joe Melton. I am the Vice President of Marketing and Management Support Services for the Morgan Group. Been there 4.5 years. Wow, I just said that. And started in 98 as a leasing agent. Somebody told me I had a good personality, I probably could sell stuff. So I said, okay, and I needed a discount on an apartment. So that's how that happened. And, you know, I've worn many hats, too, and I realized, you know, I look back, I grew up at a really great company. You know, my better part of my career was with Camden Property Trust. Mm-hmm. I still bleed a little green, don't worry. But, you know, I stopped chasing promotion and started looking for projects, and I think that served me really, really well. And I think we've all kind of done that. You just get asked to do things. You wear many hats. But the Morgan Group's a great place. You know, I always say we're kind of dirt to dollars. We have a construction department, development, operations. And, you know, we don't actively seek out third-party management. We call it friends and family. So we do some of that. But really, work for a company now that's all about the people, right? Mm-hmm. And we make decisions quickly. All of that is kind of full circle to what I've learned along the way. You know, I'm fortunate to have friends like Karina and Randy that I can call upon. I called Karina last week for something. I think that this is a really tight-knit community. And so, you know, it's a good place to be.
Great.
And we're leasing things that don't go out of style of people's homes, right?
Exactly. Randy?
Okay, so quick tip. So I'm just going to kind of go back to basics. So I do my daily basis on like my 4 P's, right, which is product, promotion, people, and price. Did I say price? I don't know. Well, yes? I don't know. So that's kind of like how I teach my teams, just because it's just so easy. Like, you just have like this checklist of just also like being you, right? So they lease the apartment because of you and how you sell them on the building, and also them selling on you too. So that has been my number one tip, and also just having fun with it again. I mean, leasing apartments is fun. You get to like look cute. You get to sell a product. You get to wear high heels. That's the first time I ever wore them when I was on leasing. But it's also just like literally take out all the other stuff and then just be you. So just because remember, because you are the face of a multi-million-dollar asset, quoted. So,
all right.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming in today for this. It's been fascinating. I learned a lot about marketing and leasing. We will be back next Friday at 10 a.m. with another great topic right here on Business 1110 KTEK with another great topic and power panel of experts. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.